And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Michael Savage. Adjusting my camera. The lighting is good. The contrast is good. The colors are good. I hope the thoughts are as good as all the others. So I prayed this morning. I try to connect myself with the power of God. And after I got through connecting myself with the power of God, I felt a slight ability to speak with you. And here we are. But can I offer you hope in these hopeless times where we have a debilitated lying king for whom breathing is equal to lying? A man so frail that when he walks, it looks as though he needs a net beneath him. And we're supposed to sit here and worship him and listen to the liars who say, he is so wise. He is so wise. How many times have I told you it's not about King Biden's age? It's about his mental acuity or lack thereof. It's not about his age. That's the big lie they're using. They're saying, oh, age is wisdom. Is it? All old people are smart. Some old people are. Some old people are just stupid. Some old people are evil and mean. And some old people are absolutely despotically mean.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Is there hope in hopeless times? We have a political system that is crippled, absolutely crippled. We don't live in a democracy. Don't fool yourself for 1 minute. Every 4 years, they spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars so one gangster can compete with another gangster, one band of thieves competing with another. Yes, I know there are differences, of course. We know the Democrats are pushing the trans, the gay, the immigrants over the border, attacking our children, our God, our faith, our military, our police. I understand that. There is a huge difference. But where is the hope in these hopeless times for us now, today? Not tomorrow, but today, right now. We don't have a parliamentary system where this debilitated dictator would be voted out of office. There'd be a special election in a parliamentary system. They would say he's just not capable of being commander in chief. This is the commander in chief. A wise man, I say, would seek peace between Russia and Ukraine a year ago. Not war, not more weapons. Where's peace? Where has this mad king gone? Where have all of the good liberals gone? Do you realize what thermonuclear war is? You know, the podcast that I did was an older interview with two of the great men in the history of science. Not Oppenheimer, that's a movie right now, but the man who invented the neutron bomb and one of the men who helped develop the atomic bomb. I interviewed them. It was amazing that I had the ability to reach them, and they were so kind to come on that radio show. Edward Teller and Samuel Cohen. Two of the great minds of our time. Great men, Jewish immigrants, some of the greatest minds of all time. We're lucky that we received them. You're going to compare them to the animals coming over the border? Tell me, has anyone seen an Edward Teller or a Samuel Cohen in that mob that Biden's bringing in? Have you seen one doctor, one social worker, one engineer? No. These are hopeless times for many of us. So where do we turn? Today, I promised you a title, The Secret Within the Secret. Well, maybe I can tell you right off the bat that there is no secret. That's the secret. That would be enough. I don't have a secret within a secret. My secret is that I don't know a secret within the secret. I'm not one of those who are promising you some, you know, blah, blah. I read Totem and Taboo. I read Totem and Taboo by Sigmund Freud. I've sat in villages with witch doctors. I've never discovered what I was looking for. I never discovered the fountain of youth. I never discovered the perfect stone. No, there is no secret within the secret. I think if someone wrote it, I think it was Rodin, the great sculptor, who wrote, "Work is the only salvation." I love that one. That kept me going for 20 years when I didn't know which way to turn. Work is the only salvation. There is no other salvation. So I want to read something from God, Faith, and Reason, which I consider actually one of my best books. There are other books that are great. I'm not going to hold up all my books. I've written too many of them. Some people are so stupid that they think because you wrote many books, there's something negative about that. Most of them never written a check. I'm known as a prolific author. When I was a young man, I decided I wanted to be a writer. Fundamentally, I am a writer. That's all I am. And I was blessed to become a broadcaster in my fourth or fifth career at age 52. That's right. I was 52 when I began in radio, and now I'm turning 82 this March 31st, God willing. The secret within the secret, there is no secret. That's my secret within the secret. Have you read Totem and Taboo by one of the other great minds of all time, Sigmund Freud? Probably not. He's not taught anymore. Because the psychotics who have taken over the world of psychology told us that Freud was a fraud. They're the real McCoy, the ones that put you on drugs, not those who taught us to think. He that breatheth forth truth uttereth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Proverbs 12:17. So each chapter has a wonderful quote from the Bible. I climbed Rain Mountain on Western Samoa and been photographed lying adjacent to Robert Louis Stevenson's tomb, only my head jutting from the cement. I'd kissed Paul Gauguin's grave in the Marquesas, drinking a $300 bottle of Red Bordeaux alone that night, listening to the long breaking surf rolling onto the reefless island, all the way from the nearest continent 5,000 miles distant. Another great sentence. And in the Cook Islands, a break in the outlying reef in the middle of a storm meant just clearing the razor-like coral on a small wooden boat, getting stuck there after a 54-foot cutter had been sunk by an accidental blow from a passing sub. I remember sitting for weeks on that little atoll, pondering William Marston's grave. Marston, you see, was an English mariner who settled on Palmerston Island, had four wives and fathered 23 children, whose descendants now took care of me. Sweet inbreds, these, violating the predictions of geneticists and royal watchers. Yeah, I'd seen some adventure without thieving or killing. I'm an anomaly of the last years of the millennium. I know, but real. I left New York for Honolulu in 1968 and now missed my relatives living and dead, who are more real to me than a serrated black and white photo, but unreachable in their time and conditions. Each ossified by life thought of me, if ever, as a friendly black sheep who had jumped the family fence never to return. Always good for a chuckle was old Bob, who was always available anytime, day or night, for a mooch, a free beer, or plate of food, but mainly to shoot the breeze. It was usually me talking rapid-fire New Yorkese and he responding in his slow East Bay self-taught way. Well, a man who'd go to sea for fun would go to hell for a pastime, said the quartermaster drinking his gin. Said Bob, quoting Lowry, after I told him of my plan to ship out as lecturer to some ports, any ports, for a few weeks. Bob, I said, Bob, I can't take it anymore. I have impulses I'm afraid of to hurt myself and others. My mind's abuzz with scores of vengeful thoughts towards everyone I know and ever knew. Again, he threw a quote at me. Who knows what delicate wonders have disappeared from the world for want of the will to survive? Cut the Bob. You are reading too many cheap novels in that room of yours. A man's pride shall bring him low, but he that is of lowly spirit shall attain to honor. Proverbs 29:23. Images rolled through my mind of past cruises to the Southern Hemisphere. I could see the blue Nordic eyes of the German captain as he paced the deck, his unshaven face in a grimace of doubt. As he paced the deck, his unshaven face in a grimace of doubt, looking mad. He surprised me in only an undershirt and unshaven that dawn. As I awoke in a particularly hard roll, my far forward cabin taking a pounding that sounded like sledgehammers against the steel plate that separated me and my sleeping family from the Tonga Trench 6,000 miles down. The captain stared at me on the deck with half-mad eyes, bellowing and pleading in his undershirt, lecture all the time, Tahiti to Fiji, Fiji to Tahiti, Tahiti to Fiji, Fiji to Tahiti. His Saxon English, a perfect cadence for the boredom of this cruise. A fixed back-and-forth cruise for a man longing to be free to sail the high seas. For the asylum bound, I'm sure, but poor Captain I swear it, that was his name, A-Y-E, Captain I, he didn't quite take that desperate route. After that storm subsided, he must have accepted his tame lot, because I saw him that night at dinner, all cleaned up and immaculate, personifying the German sea captain, hitting the brakes. No, I'm sorry, I jumped a page. The German sea captain. Oh, that's the end of it. After the storm subsided, he must have accepted his tame lot, because I saw him that night at dinner, all cleaned up and immaculate, personifying the German sea captain. Then we go to page 218 of God, Faith, and Reason. It's part of this long story, Rabbi in a Brothel, a fable inside God, Faith, and Reason.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Hitting the brakes, I almost swerved into the guardrail to avoid careening across the roadway. Another Bay Airhead cutting me off from the right-hand lane and now pretending she didn't do it. She didn't do a thing by staring dead straight ahead. I'll speed up now there. Good. F you, you rotten jerk. You like to cut people off here? How'd you like to swim in San Francisco Bay? Okay, calming down in the slow-moving traffic now. My thoughts return to the sea. Once when our ship docked in Recife, I took a small group of the more adventurous passengers into the jungle to show them medicinal plants firsthand. This one cures headaches, that one ulcers, memory is enhanced with this, and so on. One particularly grating skeptic kept lecturing me. Even if these plants do work, how do you know it's not all psychological? With a putz like him, no amount of scientific references would be convincing. Here, let me show you something. I began to climb a huge hardwood tree while continuing to talk to the shrinking group below. You see this vine, I shouted. If you take the sap and put it in an arrow and shoot a monkey high on a tree, gasps of liberal horror, the monkey will fall from the tree into the hands of the hungry hunter below. I continued to climb to find a particularly beautiful flowering sample of the curare vine. So, shouted the putz, what's the point? This vine contains the drug curare. It's a muscle relaxant. It makes any animal lose its grip. Monkey, man, New Yorker, Hoosier, priest, dancer, cardiac patient. Get it? I bellowed. No matter who you are, the curare will have the same effect on your muscles. It's not all in your head. It's biological, physiological. Wait, I'll be down in a minute to show you. Pulling myself up a few more feet, I was through the dense canopy of the tree. In a blink, as in a fantasy, I was on solid ground. A pack of dogs came running at me. I froze. There was a glacier-like pool of clear blue water, and from beyond it, a female shouted, "Don't worry, they're harmless." The bridge cables whipped past, his eyes now in their ever-ascending arc. Halfway across, he wondered just what impelled him on. In those reveries just past, he realized that in those previous trips to the islands, he had very much been running toward goals. Now he would, in fact, be running from all that California, or at least the Bay Area, had become, from all that the world, according to the synods, had become. ABC plus CBS plus NBC plus CNN equals HATEFUL, from all that the rotting sick deviants had made in their own image, a city built on Judeo-Christian values, on Italian and Irish Catholic virtues, on Jewish business acumen, Chinese labor and investments. All this beauty had been stalled by a where once there was genuine pride, the pride of genuine accomplishments, there now was hawked in its place all the false pride of the progressives and then some, the false pride of being a pervert, the false pride of civil rights lawsuits, the false pride of first birthing and then laying the blame for some epidemics on innocent bystanders, the false pride of superior culture, the false pride of calumny in the arts, literature, academia, wherever the perverts reigned, the false pride of sexual freedom marked by the clanking of chains. Yes, it had become a time of falseness, a time to cry, a time to weep, a time to leap, a time to run. Time is the great sorter of experience. That's what Lin Yutang, his fortune teller, had last sent him. Time is the great sorter of experience. From nowhere came that anagram. Would time give him the perspective needed to sort these emotions? To separate his own condition in time from that of the city in which he lived? Had the forces of present tense communication made him a direct emblem of his city, of his country, of his time? Without a moment anymore to dwell on the past, neither his own nor the historical realities of anything, it seemed, just the newspapers, 36 television channels, mindless news updates on the car radio, he had become a point in time. The recipient of bad forebodings, of riots and crashes and fires and streams of racial beatings not seen nor heard since Hitler's Germany. Oh, how this poor running rabbi needed the sanctity of an honest brothel. He had to run or else risk falling into madness. The madness of a John Wilkes Booth, whose self-realized cowardice became blamed on just one man, the one who had taken credit for freeing the slaves, whom Booth had marked for death. Should he stay? He might focus on the loudest of them now, strutting about city chambers, and only God knew where that might lead. He was hurt by God, so he will become a priest, was a saying he'd grown up on. He was hurt by God, so he will become a priest. His younger brother, born a cripple, was supposed to become a holy man, but had died at age 7. So he, his older brother, had somehow felt obligated to fulfill his poor brother's calling. But how? With the impulses of a not-so-ordinary man and the personality of a born tyrant, our bridge traveler to nowhere had no intention of spending his life dressed in black. But could he not climb a tree so high and see so far as to bring back to earth for all to see God's vision for a perfect South? Could he not somehow fulfill his brother's lost lot in other than a formal priestly way by rescuing healing plants, for example? Oh, how impossible this quest of the alternate priest became to prove to God, if not to man, that you worshipped him, but in your own way. To do so without edifice or pageant, to sing his praises in silence, to bow down to him without moving, to follow his commandments without following them. Had our running priest become a Buddhist? The Messiah is here, proclaimed the flyers. And now it seemed his religious Jewish friends of the Lubavitch sect had all gone mad. Souls that had once years before sheltered him, saved him from madness, from suicide or homicide, but now they too, it seemed, needed saving. Collective insanity, he had thought when first he saw their announcements. To not only cry out for the coming in Jewish eyes, but to publish a date and then, when the day had passed, drop all references to the chosen one. Gender, God, and reality. Heavy stuff to balance on a bridge. Gender, God, and reality.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
A horn warned the fog. A ship slipped the gate. Images of Bob and his generation looking forward to the shore crossed his mind. I'm on a bus going to Fort Cronkite. It comes to the end of the line. The driver says, "Everybody off the bus." I sit still. "Okay, off the bus." "I ain't getting off," I tell him. "It's too windy on the beach." Too windy even for an old salt? For June in San Francisco, we're having August weather, but worse. The product of Saddam's oil fires last year, who knows? Vectors of wind out of control. The Muslim winds again, for in just 100 years, remember, our cunning Arab cousins took an unknown local cult of the book and swept two-thirds of the world. He gets out of his driver's seat, comes to the back of the bus where I'm sitting next to two old ladies. "Look," he says, "you've got to get off the bus." "I ain't going." He's got a half-shaved head, an earring, three rings on each finger, and he's a bus driver. One word leads to another. "Listen, I'm going to smoke, and you've got to get off the bus." Well, I told him, "It's illegal. Get off the bus and smoke with the rest of the numbskulls. I'm not getting off in this wind." Wind, Hasim, screws everybody's mind. Ions, blows, pollen, mites, viroids into people's minds. Sweeps protective cullens from the skin. Upraises particles unseen, stripping people. Wind, wind is death, according to the Japanese. Wind, the Russians think it brings illness, as do the Chinese. Not a race on earth welcomes it. Yet wind is the great pollinator without which all screws itself. Wind, the world upsets. So Bob stays on the bus with the two old ladies, one asking the other, "What did he say?" Not comprehending the bus driver or seeing his earrings or shaved head or attitude. The hostile driver smokes a cigarette. But the fog was wafting strong now in the middle of the bridge. Bob sat firm in his triumph over one little vandal. It was his most recent battle against evil, one that had begun on the mean streets of East Oakland and led through Guadalcanal. I fought my own battles against evil, becoming myself one who, as I often jested, had to learn to lie, cheat, and steal for was it, beg, borrow, and steal to survive. Despite all my advanced degrees, my many published books and unpublished books, and my obvious verbal talents, society had hit its rewards for me. The vandals had broken through the gates of academia, journalism, publishing, medicine, law, and government. And in their 30-year reign, they had created an old vandals network not seen in America since the bureaucratic tyrannies of the early part of this century. More like the current social order in Sicily, where neither talent nor education counted, or the recent experience in Eastern Europe. Could the warnings and exhortations of Job compare with Disney? Could the warnings and exhortations of Job compare with Disney? Could Jeremiah compete with the evening news? Look what the Times had become. One power mad psychopath after another paraded throughout with all the details of his, her personal wealth displayed so as to render the moderately successful reader impotent and hopeless by the time the sports page was reached. Could this epic of the Sulzbergers be compared with Ecclesiastes? No, of course not. Which is why the original book of the Jews was now read only by illiterate fools who by circumstance or genetic dysfunction believed the words had been dictated from heaven and inscribed in stone. Probably a collection of constipated poets, failed jewel hustlers, bankrupt sandal makers, whoremongers past their prime, child molesters, animal torturers, and other biblical age riffraff, thought the bridge driver as he now approached the South Tower nearing the toll booths into the city. He glanced at the tiny fortune cookie, fortune scotch taped to the dashboard of his old two-door Bronco. You are an angel, beware of those who collect feathers. You are an angel, beware of those who collect feathers. By now it's a private comedy. I'm no angel, but I've lost most of my feathers. Mostly trying to fly, he mused. Every time I've been given a chance, I could soar like an eagle. It's been the trying to fly where the real losers live. Those failed writers who became agents, now all menopausal and ready to give to the UJA after years of supporting the PLO. Those tight-lipped WASP academics whose guilt made them hire the Jews after the Holocaust, the academic Jews who chose to exile any hint of rebellion in their own Jewish male descendants, welcoming instead the women and other minorities they thought they could bamboozle. And bamboozle they did, running every racket known to the mafia within the halls of academe, encouraging all the while the debate over affirmative action so they could continue their plunder, plundering unnecessary research funds, conducting excessive animal experimentation, molesting their young students, holding grandiose conferences modeled on the tools of those governmental bureaucrats they did business with. The look what the university had become, he thought, plunderer of graduate students' discoveries and labor, plunderer of all lost ideals everywhere and in all time since Abraham tried to slay Isaac, but was saved by a counter-hallucination. A generation of incompetence not seen in the history of the Republic, incompetence who had created their own fields of study to justify their lack of productive scholarship in the real fields of learning. Those fertile fields which blossomed with a flora so vibrant and diverse, now reduced in size and offering to women's studies, black studies, Chicano studies, trans studies, lesbian studies, gay studies, trans studies, all non-sciences created by jingoists with tenure desperate for attention and respect. Leo Tolstoy wrote somewhere that those who believe their religion is greater than God will believe that their sect is greater than their religion and end up believing that they are greater than their sect. On and on it went as he drove over the Golden Gate Bridge. And that, my friends, is a piece from God, Faith, and Reason, which nobody has read. They've read the beginning of the book, which has all the God stuff in it, but they haven't read the fiction in the back that was collected from the years that I was living or that the writer was living in a small hotel room on and off on Sansome Street near Broadway, four flights up, where he wrote in that little hotel room while looking down upon the street and contemplated the secret within the secret, for there is no secret. And that's it, my friends. I know you'd like more, but I've exceeded the average attention span by I've been on for 28 minutes. I've exceeded the average attention span on YouTube by 20 minutes. The average attention span is 8 minutes. That's all they need to see some harlot dancing, showing her whatever, to see some idiot showing his abs. I don't know. Is there hope in hopeless times? Have you read Totem and Taboo by Sigmund Freud? Have you understood that the secret within the secret is that there is no secret? From Michael Savage, the audience is loyal. You see, what I have here is something you can't buy, which is a loyal cadre of followers. I'm more like a, how shall I put it? I'm an acquired taste that was developed a very long time ago by a small cadre of people. And although my audience is small compared to certain people, let's say, it's extremely devout and devoted. And I really respect that from you. I asked you at the beginning, is there hope in hopeless times? And I have nothing to offer you in terms of hope. But by reading from the works that I wrote when no one knew me at all, remember those stories were written. They must have been written before 2000, because when I say the millennium and all of that in here. So yeah, they were written in the 1990s, maybe the 1980s. And included in this book, which was published in 2017, right? So I took the older writings at the suggestion of my editor and agent, as I told you in another broadcast, when I had nothing more to say about God per se, they said, why don't you go back to your older writings and see if there's anything in it that's spiritual? Was that spiritual, what I just read to you? This fiction of a man driving over the Golden Gate Bridge? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Am I putting anyone down? Am I boasting to you? No. I'm crying out to you, which is why I keep totems on my table, such as this, a little clay head from Mesoamerica. He looks like my gardener. It's not a joke. They too had their totems and taboos. This is a very old clay figure. Also on my desk, I keep the amulets that I told you about. These Yemenite amulets that I purchased in Jerusalem. Those of you who read Hebrew can translate this. Every culture has totems. These are beautiful. I have two of them. I bought them in one somewhere in Jerusalem. I don't remember where or when. Do they have any power? Do amulets have power? What has power? The drug that you take? 25% of liberals are medicating themselves for mental illness. That means 75% of liberals are untreated, running around, destroying everything. It's a fact. 25% of liberals are being treated for mental illness. That means 75% of them are untreated, and they're running virtually all aspects of our society. So their totems are drugs. Their totems are liberalism. Their totems are progressivism. Their totems are transgenderism. Those are their totems. I also have on my little desk a little carving of a sea captain, not for sale. Don't know why I have it. I like it. I also have on my desk a card given to me by, I guess these were the Mormon folks, came to a door 25 years ago. I like the picture. Looks like Jeff Bridges. No one knew what Jesus looked like. It's a good rendition of him. They look like a 60s hippie. I like his outfit. Nice sash. But there's more to it than that. I also have on my desk, ladies and gentlemen, a picture of Mama Savage that I look at every day, cooking in her little four-burner stove in Queens, New York, in a house, what was it, 20 feet wide, where there was the whole world on a lot 100 by 20 in that little 20-foot kitchen. 20-foot house, the kitchen must have been 8 feet wide. She could knock out meals for eight people on that four-burner stove. You go to the $12,000 refrigerators in Tiburon or the Hamptons, and there's nothing in there but chiclets and a bottle of vodka. It's all takeout. It's Uber Eats. No one cooks anymore. So I am an acquired taste. That's true. And I know that some of you get it. Most of you don't. You want me to say, you know, bash liberals or support someone or that, but that's not what I do.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic inside the plot to destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic, Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with five others.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's libsynads.com.
Well, you see, I don't want to stop. I feel like going on. So for the sake of myself, I think what I'm going to do, because I'm in a mood to really have a conversation today. I mean, I've been on too long. I know that. I've so exceeded the attention span of YouTube. 34 minutes. Are you kidding? People dropped out after 6 minutes. Who is that old guy with the white beard? Who is that guy? Who is that? Michael Savage podcast? What is that? I haven't heard that. I've heard about Taylor Swift's. I've heard about her boyfriend, Schmendrick Kelsey or something. That's what I know. I know about the guy who rubs his crotch at the Super Bowl. That's what I know. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some. You get the picture. Peanuts and give me some crack. I speak 50 words of English, and I'm worth 50 mil in the bank, man. I speak 50 words of English, and I'm running Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, man. That's the America of today. If Einstein were alive and came to America, he couldn't get a job teaching today for several reasons. A, he's European. B, he's Jewish. A, he's European, and B, he's Jewish. Oh, and C, he's not transgendered. They wouldn't hire Einstein. They tell him white males need not apply, especially white male European Jews who are straight. Can you imagine what this country is going to be like in 10 years with the dummies they're hiring now? The idiots running the universities? Do you understand that they're not hiring the best minds of our generation who are being driven mad despite all of the great achievements? Do you understand what this country is going to be like in only a few years when morons are running everything? It's bad enough they're running the government and academia. Wait until you go into a surgical ward and the guy doesn't know how to use a scalpel, but he's the right race, whatever. What are you going to do when you get on an airplane and they have the door open to the cabin and there's a guy in there who's blind with a seeing eye dog? And they put a blind pilot in the cabin saying blind people can fly. And if you don't believe it, you're going to be thrown off the plane. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Shall I close with a prayer to give the religious who I've insulted in this broadcast? Now, remember, I said that about the hustlers, the diamond hustlers. Did anyone catch that? How funny that really was? Did you get it? Did anyone catch that part of it? About the guy driving over the bridge and he's reflecting on the diamond hustlers in ancient times. Where is this? Here it is. No, I don't think generation of incompetence. I don't know. That was very funny. At first I put down the academics, but remember it was written in 1999. I told you what was coming. Women's studies, black studies, Chicano studies, lesbian studies, gay studies, trans studies. It's in the book, 1999. So don't think I didn't see. I did see. But I wanted to go back to the one about the religious people. I didn't mean to insult my... Here it is. Which is why the original book of the Jews was now read only by illiterate fools. Remember, it's not me. It's the character. So if you're an Orthodox Jew who's come to like me, don't now hate me. Send a salami to your boy in the army. Leave me alone. Which is why the original book of the Jews was now read only by illiterate fools who by circumstance or genetic dysfunction believe the words have been dictated from heaven and inscribed in stone. Probably a collection of constipated poets, failed jewel hustlers, bankrupt sandal makers, whoremongers past their prime, child molesters, animal torturers, and other biblical age riffraff, thought the bridge driver as he now approached the South Tower nearing the toll booths in the city. That's a great sentence. It's very funny. Remember, I didn't write that. That's the character talking. I mean, I wrote it, but it's about a character. It's not what I believe necessarily. What do I believe? Oh, what do I believe? Now, that's a question for another time. Are you a guilt-ridden hitchhiker on the coattails of Joe Biden? Are you a guilt-ridden hitchhiker riding on the tails of Donald Trump? Are you a guilt-ridden hitchhiker riding on a cause, whether it be communism or capitalism? Are you a guilt-ridden hitchhiker hanging on to Karl Marx? Are you a guilt-ridden hitchhiker marching to remake America, not in your image, in an image you don't even understand that will devour you? And slime they had for mortar. And slime had they for mortar, Genesis 2. Are you a true believer? Do you feel like an undesirable in a desirable world? Do you want to get rid of all the desirable so you as an undesirable can take over society? You never will. I had an uncle who I used to argue with, long gone, wonderful man. I think I was in college and getting my mind warped at Queens College by those who had fled the Holocaust, only to bring the Holocaust to America, the Holocaust of the mind. I know those are harsh words, but, you know, I say it like it is. All those who had escaped Hitler came here and then tried to poison them. Almost all of them became psychotic leftist maniacs who hated America and the Goyim. Oh, my God, I actually said it. How do you like that? What do you expect me to say? What, I don't believe? So I remember I was arguing with my uncle after my brain had been slightly washed at Queens College about one thing or the other, about God, I think, or something. And I think I was telling him about the wonders of socialism or communism. I had just come back from a class at Queens College where I was being brainwashed by some of the emigres who had been saved to come here and destroy mines by the millions. And one of the emigres was teaching us about the wonders of socialism or communism. I don't know which. And so I argued with my Uncle Saul. I told him about the wonders of socialism or communism. And he laughed. He didn't get offended. He was, I think, an aircraft mechanic in World War II in London or something, fixing the Spitfires. I don't remember what. Great guy. Loved him. And he looked at me and he laughed with a chuckle. He said, Michael, don't you understand that if there's a revolution, those on the bottom will be on the bottom again? Those who are preaching communism will wind up on the bottom again, and people who are on top will be on top as communists. If there's a communist system, those who have risen to the top in the capitalist system will rise to the top in the communist system and still be the rulers over the people on the bottom. I didn't quite get it then. Is there hope in hopeless times? Totem and taboo. The secret within the secret. The secret is that there is no secret. Am I done for the day? Maybe. No, it's only 42 minutes. I'm not Mother Teresa, don't get me wrong. The thing I loved about Mother Teresa is that in her later years, she admitted in her diaries that she doubted the existence of God while she was living. So that gave me a lot of liberation to realize that you can believe in God while doubting God. Get it? You can be faithful while being unfaithful. You can be good while being bad. So be good for goodness sake. I mean, has it dawned on you yet that we are an anomaly? That we are fallen angels? That we're not angels themselves? I know how to conclude. People like this suit all of a sudden. They like this jacket. I dug it up from somewhere. I don't know where. Dead man's pants. Joking. Dead man's pants. Great story. Everyone loves that one. So yesterday I was texting. Hey, Tex, how are you? Yesterday I was texting with text about something or other. I don't know where it went. A really good one. I probably erased it. I erased my texts. What's the point of keeping them? You got nothing. Here it is. Here it is. Wait, wait. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here it is. Here it is. A great rabbi by name of Rabbi Dov Ber Pinson, and I did a podcast with him months and months ago. We stayed in touch. He's a mystically great, really smart man, but he's also very deep. So he sometimes texts me out of the blue. And I sent him a, first he said, Shabbat Shalom, Michael, stay safe and strong. That was Friday night. And I said, thank you. Then After my Newsmax TV show yesterday, I sent him a copy of it, and he said, nice, stay strong, the world needs you. So I said, I hope God believes so. And he says, it's not even a question. And I said to him, sometimes I stumble, sometimes I fear, sometimes I doubt, I said to him. And here's what he answered, and I'm going to close with this answer, because maybe that will be the secret within the secret. He wrote this back when I said, sometimes I stumble, sometimes I fear, sometimes I doubt. Rabbi Dove Bear Pinson said to me, a person unlike an angel does stumble, does fear, and maybe even doubts. But what makes us special is that we are created in a divine image. And because of that, we know how to get up after we fall, how to move forward despite fear, how to retain confidence in the face of doubts. And that, my friends, may be the secret within the secret, even though I said there was no secret within the secret. Perhaps there is. Thank you for being with me. I look forward to seeing you again, God willing, somewhere. Podcast, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Be well. Be strong. And pray for America.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.